In these last days, the Bible predicts a turning away from biblical truth. In order to combat false teachings that are running rampant and a growing lack of biblical literacy, Behold Israel provides weekly public readings of Scripture to equip you with the pure Word of God, read in an international community with interaction and application. Each week, we host different guests from all walks of life. Original readings can be found on our Behold Israel community channel on YouTube or on our Facebook channel. These are audio versions created to make it convenient for your busy schedule. Now, on to our readings.
Shalom to everybody. Pastor Mike Golay here with another episode of Public Reading of Scripture. Have you ever been out in a restaurant and you heard music playing in the background with a song? And then you find yourself walking out into the parking lot and you're singing that song. You're like, why am I singing this song? Or if you're in the house and maybe one of your family members is playing a song and you just regurgitate the words, you find yourself saying, wow, this just somehow got into my mind, kind of like subliminal or something. This is the effect, the way God created us. When we hear things, they resonate. When we read out loud the Word of God, or if you listen to an audio version of anything, there's something about listening. There's something about when somebody looks you straight in the eyes and tells you something. Do you ever have that where it burns in your memory forever? Maybe a wise word, or it could be hurtful. It could be very damaging. Tonight, we are going to remind you of that the main thing is that the Word of God that will be read tonight will stick. A lot of things stick, but the Bible is the thing that really sticks. It says in the Bible that His Word will never return void. There will always be a purpose for where we're at and what we hear pertaining to the Bible. And you may not say, I don't remember a lot. I don't remember a lot of readings. Oh, trust me. It's embedded deep down in your soul. So that's why we do this. And especially in the last days, Jesus warned us that there would be many false Christs. There would be deceptions of many kinds. The only way that you can detect a deception is if you're so used to the truth. So with that being said, let's open up the chat. Let's see what we've got tonight. I am still in my chat mood, if that makes sense. This is evolved over the years. We've had guests, and I'm in this period where I'm just enjoying interacting with you personally. Because in our travels, and it didn't fail this last time, last week we were in, as you know, Arizona, and Amir was in London. He was recording the Exploring Ezekiel book with his own voice. See, that's his standard. You know, he wants to use his own voice for the books that he wrote. So we've got Alethea Tignor from Sweetwater, Penny from Oklahoma. Shalom to you, Psalms, Songs, and Prayers, and E. Lowe on YouTube. Blessings. Grand Forks, there you are, Nancy. There you are. Sorry, I couldn't make it the last time to do dinner with the group. Josie Palencia. Portmans, I hope I pronounced that correctly, from Belgium. Now, do you speak French or Flemish or both? I see you speak English. Elkhart, Indiana, with Chris Hirschup Stack. And Kim Canto. Yeah, good to see you, Kim. It was good to see you, actually. And from Canada, Louise Campbell. We are going to start. Tonight is Eliphaz, his response to Job. Maybe I'll get into this later, but I'm going to ask you a very challenging question. And I'm also going to challenge each one of you to think differently about loss. Okay? We haven't done this on these programs before, so I'm going to take a risk with you tonight. But we're going to go jump into Job chapter 15 here. Where you're at, whether this is live or you're just watching, pray this with me. Lord, let me hear your word. Let me understand your word. Challenge me with your word. and allow me the application of your word, so I may see and come closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I'm going to wait until my challenge, until we read Eliphaz, and then we're going to read half of Job's response to Eliphaz. Eliphaz the Temanite answered and said, hey, anybody know where Teman is? Huh? Where is modern-day Teman? Write it in the chat. You'll be interested. There's a lot of action going on in Teman right now. And ironically, Teman, the modern-day Teman, is terrorizing, you guessed it, Israel. Should a wise man answer with empty knowledge? And he's referring to Job. And fill himself with the east wind? Should he reason with unprofitable talk or by speeches with which he can do no good? Yes, you cast off fear and restrain prayer before God. For your iniquity teaches your mouth, and you choose the tongue of the crafty. See, he's accusing him. Your own mouth condemns you, and not I. Yes, your own lips testify against you. Are you the first man who was born? Or were you made before the hills? You see the tactic he's taking. He's asking him questions. He's challenging his godliness, and you'll see why in a minute. Do you limit wisdom to yourself? What do you know that we do not know? It is said that his friends were older than him, so they were expecting him to respect their gray hairs. What do you understand that is not in us? Both the gray-haired and the aged are among us. Much older than your father. Are the consolations of God too small for you, and the word spoken gently with you? Why does your heart carry you away? And what do your eyes wink at? That's a phrase in the ancient Near East, in the Hebrew mentality, and this predates the Hebrew people. It's a phrase of what you like to see. That you turn your spirit against God and let such words go out of your mouth. What is man that he could be pure? And he who is born of a woman that he could be righteous? If God puts no trust in his saints, and the heavens are not pure in his sight, how much less man who is abominable and filthy, who drinks iniquity like water? Of course, he's implying that Job is amongst this group of people, and you'll see why. I will tell you, hear me. What I have seen, I will declare. What wise men have told, not hiding anything received from their fathers, to whom alone the land was given, and no alien passed among them. The wicked man writhes with pain all his days, and the number, did you hear that? The wicked man writhes with pain. And the number of years is hidden from the oppressor. Dreadful sounds are in his ears. In prosperity, the destroyer comes upon him. He does not believe that he will return from darkness, for a sword is waiting for him. He wanders about for bread, saying, where is it? He knows that a day of darkness is ready at his hand. Trouble and anguish make him afraid. They overpower him like a king ready for battle. For he stretches out his hand against God and acts defiantly against the Almighty, running stubbornly against him with his strong embossed shield. Though he has covered his face with his fatness and made his waist heavy with fat, he dwells in desolate cities, in houses which no one inhabits, which are destined to become ruins. He will not be rich, nor will his wealth continue, nor will his possessions overspread the earth. He will not depart from darkness. Can you see what he's doing to Job in his mind? Like we said, when you speak and you look at a person, which is the case here, you remember these things. The flame will dry out his branches, and by the breath of his mouth he will go away. Let him not trust in futile things, deceiving himself, for futility will be his reward. It will be accomplished before this time, his time, and his branch will not be green. He will shake off his unripe grape like a vine, and cast off his blossom like an olive tree. For the company of hypocrites will be barren, and fire will consume the tents of bribery. They conceive trouble and bring forth futility. Their womb prepares deceit. Now I'm going to open up the chat again. We'll read the next chapter in a second. I want to see what you're putting here. Ha, Nancy, first, the first thing I see, Yemen is Tayman in Hebrew, the country of Yemen. That's right. And the Houthis, which is an Iranian-backed terror organization that's been terrorizing also the sea against ships, simple, peaceless ships that want to transport goods. But the Israelis and the United States and some other countries have put an end to that. Well, not a complete end, but it has radically reduced the evil happening in modern-day Tayman, which is Yemen. When I was a pastor, there was plenty of opportunity for counseling. People would come and they would ask, is this confidential? And I'd say yes. It was so confidential that even I was confronted by a police officer one time because he said, you're a mandated reporter. I said, if somebody doesn't want me to report something that happened that's illegal and they want it just to be private, then I respect that. So arrest me. Do what you need to do. That's not the issue I want to talk to you about. The issue I want to talk to you about is some people would come in and they say, I have been raped. And oftentimes it was by a close family member. And of course, some of them would break down into tears and convulse. I mean, they just said something to their pastor that they don't say to a lot of people. There's a massive amount of trust. Now, a good pastor, and I hope and pray to God that I was a good pastor or that I was not as bad as others, but after hearing this and many other confessions of deep pain that people had to experience by the hands of others that were absolutely evil and illegal, I know and have heard some ministers will say, wow, is this in their heart? What were you wearing? Did you send any sexual signals? Almost to imply that they contribute in some way, shape, or form to this. And I say this very clearly, and this is exactly what Eliphaz and his friends are doing with Job. They jump and conclude that loss and suffering must be part of an unconfessed sin. Or a tragedy must be God's punishment. Or because God allowed it and it's his will, therefore, you have to accept it and not question it. Now, we move to the moderate pastors out there and their response to this. The response that the moderate, maybe untrained, maybe they don't care as much, maybe they think they're doing the right thing, but they might ask a question like this to a rape victim or somebody that's experienced extreme tragedy and loss. Well, you know, everything happens for a reason. You know, everything pertains to God's will. And so what are you going to do as a result? Let's figure that out. If you're the victim and you hear that, it automatically attaches you with someone else's sin. And in Job's case, there was no sin. In a rape victim's case, there is no sin. They didn't do anything. Somebody else did it to them. And I have to say this, and this is a video you may want to share with somebody. God does not will sin. It's not God's will that sin happens. Nor does it mean if somebody goes through something of loss or tragedy, does it mean that God is behind it? You already saw behind the curtain when we first started the series in Job that Satan wanted to do this. Why did God allow it? Because he knew the outcome of Job's responses. That's the first thing that I wanted to talk to you about. And I was looking at the camera, so I didn't get a chance to look at the chat, but you did, so I have no idea what anybody was writing. We're going to jump to the next chapter, and when we come back, I want to hear your comments and my next observation here after Job responds. We're going to read half of his response and save the latter half for next week. But forever grateful, I'm compelled to read yours. It's human nature to jump to conclusions. A Christian should have enough compassion to not accuse a victim. Yeah, badger girl for God, he knew Job would be faithful. He knew it. Yeah. So horrible, Sue Pohl, how many hurt souls have been wounded more and more by people, Christians who have no clue how to help hurting people. And of course, Sue, as you know, people attach that pain to God when they really should be attaching it to somebody's lack of wisdom. Yeah, so it seems like a lot of you agree. I want you to think about that, because every single one of you watching this may either be a victim or know somebody that is, for wherever the pain came from. And certainly we know people that have experienced loss. Be careful. Just be careful. Let's close this out, and we're going to go now to the next chapter. Okay, so let's see how Job responds to this. Okay, so these were pretty, very harsh words from Eliphaz. Eliphaz from Yemen, huh? Then Job answered and said, I have heard many such things. Miserable comforters are you all. He was looking for comfort, not judgment. He was looking for peace and friendship, not criticism. Shall words of wind have an end? Or what provokes you that you answer? I also could speak as you do. If your soul were in my soul's place, I could heap up words against you and shake my head at you. But I would strengthen you with my mouth, and the comfort of my lips would relieve your grief. That's what I would have done, he says, but you didn't do that. Though I speak, my grief is not relieved. And if I remain silent, how am I eased? But now he has worn me out. And he's talking about God. And I'm coming to my second challenge. You have made desolate all my company. You have shriveled me up. And it is a witness against me. My leanness rises up against me and bears witness to my face. He tears me in his wrath and hates me and gnashes at me with his teeth. Very strong words that he's saying about God. My adversary sharpens his gaze on me. They gape at me with their mouth. They strike me reproachfully on the cheek. They gather together against me. God has delivered me to the ungodly and turned me over to the hands of the wicked. I was at ease, but he has shattered me. He also has taken me by my neck and shaken me to pieces. He has set me up for his target. His archers surround me. He pierces my heart and does not pity. He pours out my gall on the ground. He breaks me with wound upon wound. He runs at me like a warrior. I have sewn sackcloth over my skin and laid my head in the dust. My face is flushed from weeping, and on my eyelids is the shadow of death. Although no violence is in my hands, and my prayer is pure. O earth, do not cover my blood, and let my cry have no resting place. Surely even now my witness is in heaven, and my evidence is on high. My friends scorn me. My eyes pour out tears to God. Oh, that one might plead for a man with God, and a man pleads for his neighbor. For when a few years are finished, I shall go the way of no return. Then next week, we'll look at the latter half of his response, which is actually a prayer. and that'll be insightful. Let's get you back up on the screen. I see evidence that you guys are sharing grief and loss even here, which I think is beautiful. That's why we have this community channel. So have you ever been in a, and some of you are going to be offended by this. I know some people will be offended, but it has to be said. God is the safe place for us to vent any and everything with any words, any attitudes that we want. He loves us and wants us to be honest with him. The way that Job is speaking to his friends is somewhat provocative because he's explaining and sometimes even wondering what God is doing. Hello. He's a human being. Have you ever been in a place where somebody gets up to pray and they use archaic English language? Oh, Lord, thou hast bestowed unto us thy greatest blessing. Is that how they speak at home or with their friends or at work? Probably not. I think it's cool. I think it's poetic, and I think it's worthy of just sitting back and listening to. However, the church around the world with formal prayers, as great as that is not the template. That is not where the template stops for a genuine relationship with God. What does prayer look like before God on a private level or even with friends and family? It is honest. Even if we haven't figured it out, you don't correct people's prayers. Okay? If there's a theological assumption, if there's something that's off there, you can say, hey, I noticed that you prayed this. Have you thought about this passage? Or you know what the Bible says about this? But when somebody is saying, I feel like the wind is taking me away and crashing me against the wall right now. I feel like God is doing this because he doesn't like me. Remember, feelings are not facts. It's what we feel going through the trauma or the challenge. If we bottle all those feelings up or even vent them upon other people, that puts them in an awkward position because they can't handle a God-sized challenge. Some people have a high threshold. Some who are trained in ministry and who have developed wisdom over the years. But would you agree, nothing, I don't care what person you produce, the most caring, listening person compared to God, do not hold back, is my point. Do not hold back whatever you're going through, because the Bible, including the authors of Psalms who went through things, they were honest about their feelings. I don't know why a lot of people struggle with that. Constructing the perfect prayer to maybe appear godly, even in private. Have you ever done that in private, where you construct a prayer and you want it to be perfect? Well composed, because the thought is, if I don't, then God might not love me as much or accept my prayer as much, or what we would deem an unholy prayer. Honesty is the challenge, okay? The first challenge was care. So coming back to the first one, before we go jump into Romans, if somebody came to you with extreme loss like Job, or you knew of somebody with extreme loss like Job and you visited that person, or they were abused or had experienced a certain trauma. Did you know one of the best things you can do with people is sit with them? Is just sit with them. If you have that kind of relationship, just to put your hand on them as a symbol of care and try to feel their pain. We don't have to necessarily say anything. People are hurting. We need to feel their pain, and we need to help them by making sure they know that they are loved with our presence. And, you know, you say, well, I'm scared now to use words. Don't be. People know your heart. They know your heart. But just remember that most of us that are watching this have been through a little mini Job experience. How would you like to be treated? Well, treat the person that's going through it the way you would like to be treated. Are you ready? Martha Smith, our Heavenly Father, He wants to hear all our troubles. He knows He wants a relationship with us. He cares. Yeah. Forever grateful again. Pray, pray, pray. Then if needed, share some words. Wow. Yeah. Kim, Mama Kalash. You always have words of wisdom, Mama Kalash. Amen. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. Yeah. Sometimes silence speaks volume, Tina. Jenny, you comfort them with the love of God. Listen and love them, Peggy. Yes. Melinda, just sit and listen. Let people talk if they want to talk. Gregory Hopkins, I've been judged for how I look after cancer treatment. What? By the Baptist Church. Okay. That's a shock, Gregory. To the point. See, I'm not crazy. There's people doing stuff out there, really crazy stuff. A hug goes a long way, Elo. Yes, it does. And if I was there, I'd hug you all. So, Well, anyway, I'll come back to this after Romans. This is why I love doing this. I'm in a phase. I'm in a phase of enjoying Community Channel. We'll have guests again. It's just a phase we're going through. But Romans chapter 8. So I was with Jason last week in Arizona, and we read Romans 7, and we saw Paul's struggle with sin. And if you do not have the spiritual nature, the Spirit of God living in you, or if you do and you're not walking in accordance with the Spirit, you can bet every single time that sin will have a ill effect on you. And the things that you want to do, you don't do. And the things that you don't want to do, those are the things you do. That was the summary for last week. Now watch at the contrast here. There is no, therefore, now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And last week we discovered what that looks like in practical life, Romans 7, slaves to sin. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. The law shows us what is right and wrong. We then suddenly feel like sinners, because we are. And Jesus fulfilled the law. How? He obeyed every single thing from birth till death. The law could not accuse Him of anything. After all, He was the Word of God Himself. He wrote the law, and He lived the law. 100% integrity. Flawless. Amazing. This is your Lord that you worship. Flawless. For those who live according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal man is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But here's the good news. You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And we could say that for ourselves because we're reading this and we're believers. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. And the rapture is a part of that. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the Spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him. Question for the chat, what does Jesus own that we get to inherit? You know, when parents leave an inheritance for their kids, it's usually a will and stuff and money. How much of an inheritance do you think he's prepared for us? How rich is God? You ever thought about that? For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. See, the earth will be renovated one day, new heavens and new earth, and we will live in it. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors and with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. Rapture stuff here, folks. That's the one last thing that needs to happen. We're saved, but we're living in this flesh. We have a sinful nature, and we can choose to walk in that or the Spirit. And once that flesh dies or we're raptured and it transforms into a body like his, then that's true redemption. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance, faith. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. And I'll admit that that's true. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You ever not know how to pray, or you're without words? Maybe you're praying silently, and you just have flashes of in your mind of stuff that you just, Lord, it could be as simple as love this person, heal this person, be there in a special way, let your presence be known, and you can't find the words, but your heart is communicating. That is something I love. And that's what I think he means. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And that's the passage that a lot of the pastor is trying to counsel somebody that's been through trauma. They'll quote that. And just keep in mind the context of this, though, okay? Keep in mind the context that we have to remember that a sinful world afflicts us, and God cares. God is there, and he can take anything that we are victimized. He can, and heal. He can. He does. That's what he does. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. That's his plan. That was his original plan, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. That is quite the long winter evening in a northern cabin in Minnesota someday to talk about predestination, free will, foreknowledge, and the dynamics of that. Wouldn't that be fun? What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. What are you going to do? Accuse a believer of not having status with God when they do? They're justified by God. You can't condemn a person where God's justification is overruling an accusation. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, persecution maybe, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? As it's written, for your sake, we are all killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more. We are more than conquerors. Not just conquerors. We are beyond conquerors because of his victory through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death or life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. This is one of my favorite chapters of the Bible. And I'm going to put the chat back up before we close. Let's see what we got here. Peggy, eternity with Jesus is everything that I look forward to. Amen. Nothing can separate us, Elo. Yes, that happens to me many times, Supul. Let me see if I can bring up. I have two lists. I have the list that's on the screen, and then I also have the feed. Aldo, being overwhelmed by God's goodness, mercy, and beautifulness overwhelms me. All right, you made up a word. Let's see what else we got. Oh, look at everybody's so thankful right now. Isn't it really something? And none of this is our doing. None of us earned Jesus, you know, it's not like we paid for Jesus and got Jesus. God paid the ultimate price, and then we have a choice to accept or reject that gift. But it is the most powerful gift that the universe will ever know. Oh, looks like we have kind people here. Amen and amen, Alethea. Nothing can separate us from God, Jenny Victor Carney. Yeah. Mama Kalash said earlier, Jesus intercedes for us and Holy Spirit produces groanings before the Father on our behalf that we can't even understand. Praise God. Yeah. Yeah, so it looks like some of us have had losses. I'm going to keep the feed going, but let's close with this. Let's close with a prayer. I want to pray for every one of you. And even you can send this to people that you know that are going through grief. They can even fast forward to this point right now. Lord, the person watching this is suffering, dealing with pain, loss. And Lord, we as a community right now are praying for all of us and every person that you would reach deep down in every heart and communicate your deep love, concern, and care. Lord, this is who you are. And we pray, Lord, that you would allow strength to flow. Jesus' strength. Because nobody suffered more than Jesus, not even Job. Even Job did not go to the level of suffering that your son did. And no one of us has made the sacrifice that you did with your son, Jesus. So bring healing and hope and bring a better day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. G. Miller, so thankful for Yeshua HaMashiach for opening my eyes. Someday can get very hard. Keep on fighting the good fight. I mean, I'm looking at a camera right now with equipment here, and I'm alone in my office. My wife is somewhere here in the house, and I feel you and your presence with this community. I love this. So I want to just close with the Aaronic blessing. Yeah, maybe I got a little emotional tonight, but we're talking about expression, and we're in an environment where there's no Eliphaz in the room from Teman. Okay. Yivarecha Adonai ve'ishmerecha. Ya'el Adonai panav elecha ve'ichunecha. Yisar Adonai panav elecha ve'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. That is our way of concluding a PRS. We will continue next week with Job's prayer, and we will continue in Romans chapter 9, which is the beginning of the series of three chapters, 9, 10, and 11, that talk about God not forsaking Israel. These are the chapters that you ask your friend that believes in replacement theology to read before they go to bed and see what they say in the morning. That's what we call the cure-all of the erroneous theology of replacement theology. All right, my friends, until next week, God bless you all. Be safe, keep listening, and allowing the Word of God to penetrate our hearts, minds, actions, and reactions. Goodbye for now. Toda and lehitrot, we say in Hebrew. Thank you, and we'll see you again.